Gedroych Show.
The Mel Gedroych Podcast.
Hey, it's Mel G, and this week on our little podcast, we're going to be talking about Goldenbury's, Bush's fish and chip job, and nightclubs. If you like the sound of that, then do have a listen to us every Saturday lunchtime from 1 on Magic. There will be more brilliant chat, smug, and some great songs thrown in. Ronan. Hello, Bush, by the way.
Hello.
Ronan sounds like some sort of extraordinary, hero in a piece of fur.
Yeah, he does, doesn't it?
Ronan.
I am Ronan of something or other.
Yes. Yeah, isn't it?
Ronan of Mordor.
Yes. With Harriet.
Of Gondor.
Yeah.
That's so good. They should call themselves that.
Ronan the Barbarian.
Oh, my God, that's so good.
That's a sideline for him.
That is a sideline. We've designed him a sideline.
He could appear. Sorry, no, we're going to go down such a ludicrous tangent. But I can feel it already. We've only just started the show.
We've only just got going.
How are you, Bushy?
I'm really good. How are you doing? You okay?
Really well, mate. Do you know what I've discovered this week? No word of a lie, and it has changed my life and will change my life forever. Is our local, and I don't know how to pronounce this. I don't want to offend people. Is it Lido or Lido?
Do you know what? I don't know. You say Lido, I say Lido.
Let's call the whole thing off. It's Lido. I know that much.
Yeah.
It's about 20 minutes drive from us. Mm-hmm. It is sensation with the old heat wave that we were having. Oh,
can I ask you a question, right?
Go on.
What it makes a Lido different from a normal outdoor swimming pool?
It's unheated.
Is that what it is?
I don't know if that's the actual truth.
Uh-huh.
I've said that and now I've thought of some which are heated. That's very interesting. What makes a Lido and not just an outdoor pool?
I don't know. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it?
The one we used to go to when we were kids was in Leatherhead and it was called West Wing.
Oh.
Isn't that weird? Like the trendy show set in the presidential heartland of America.
So you're saying your parents just off down the West Wing? See you in the West Wing.
West Wing.
Spent all afternoon in the West Wing.
Oh, West Wing was great.
Really good, wasn't it?
Rather too many plasters floating around on the surface.
It's very 70s, isn't it? There's something about 70s. A Lido that is 70s, which is, maybe you're going up there on your grifter or your chopper bike, that kind of thing.
But this Lido / Lido, 20 minutes drive away from where we live, is so brilliant. They redid it for 2012 for the Olympics because they thought that one of the teams would go and train there. As an extra kind of space, because so many people were arriving in the country and everything.
Yeah.
And I think they sent a Korean team, swimming team, there, and they refused to train there because it was so cold.
Really? Wow.
It is beyond freezing.
But wouldn't that wake you up in the morning? I love the idea of going to the Lido before work or something and having a really, refreshing... I always watch these people in the mornings in Leon Sea go for a swim in the sea.
Right, we've got to discuss this. Let's have a bit of music and we will continue. I wonder if Bowie ever went to his local Lido/Lido. I bet he did.
I bet he did.
I bet there was one in, where was he born again? Brockley. No, Bromley.
Bromley.
Yeah.
There must
Bromley
be.
Bromley Lido.
There must be.
Bound to be a Bromley Lido.
I love the idea, though, of going in the morning. When I'm like a proper old bloke, right, I want to go down there.
Quite
and just
soon.
pretty damn soon.
A couple of years' time. Carry on, Bush.
Just to go and do lengths in the morning. Wouldn't that be good?
Yeah.
And not get the back, even the, not the back of my hair wet. Just that tiny little bit of the back of your hair wet, but just doing lengths.
There's a group that go to this local Lido/Lido, let's call the whole thing off.
Yeah.
And I got chatting to one of them. They're very serious.
Really serious.
The cold water swimmers are really serious. And they talk about, I said, oh, it's quite chilly when you come out, but also you feel quite buzzy.
Yeah.
And this guy said to me, yeah, it's the ice cream effect.
Oh, is that what it's called?
That's the ice cream effect. Yeah, where you're very cold on the outside, but there's a sort of an internal buzz.
That's so good. I reckon you should get involved in it.
I know.
Can you sign up for the club?
It's 20 minutes drive away, mate. I don't think I do that every morning.
Get yourself down there. It'd be great.
You, my friend, have the sea literally on your doorstep. There's no excuse. People who swim in the sea every morning genuinely live to beyond 100.
They do. They are very sprightly for their age.
Because it's very good for your circulatory system and also your heart.
I don't like swimming in places, though, where I can't see the floor. Not a big fan of not being able to see the floor.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't mind that.
I think I do still have some kind of horror movie hangover from watching Jaws when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And you still, if you get something in your head about the fact that there might be jellyfish or sharks in the Thames estuary, then you just get a real panic about it.
I was going to say it is in Essex. But no, I see your point, Bushy, but I think you've got to get over that and just do it every morning and you will literally, you'll have the secret of the fount of eternal youth.
That sounds good.
Yeah?
I'm up for that, yeah.
And go with Ronan.
Ronan and Harriet of Gondor.
Ronan is the type of person that would swim every morning in the sea, wouldn't he?
He must have a secret because he looks amazing.
I know, he's got that kind of salinated freshness about him.
When he first started, right, I thought, yeah, he's a pretty boy, right? But give him 6 months of getting up
at
4 o'clock. He'll look like... Remember when they unmasked Darth Vader at the end of the first set of Star Wars movies?
Exactly.
Look like that, but he still looks... He looks better, if anything.
That's weird.
Makes me sick.
Do you think he swims in... Do you think he's swimming in something?
He must be swimming in something. Olive oil. I think he's got an olive oil tank.
No, he doesn't. No, it's salt. It's with Ronan. There's a salty quality.
That's a salty quality.
No, and I mean that in a very, very good way.
Best possible way.
Fresh sea salty.
Shall I wear a wetsuit for cold water swimming, or shall I dig out the trunks that I had to buy when I went on holiday to France and
you
weren't
that.
Allowed normal shorts?
Oh, matey, that was a bleak moment for you, wasn't it?
It's a bleak moment for the entire resort. I'll be honest with you, me and Speedos.
And did they come out of a plastic ball, or did I just imagine that? Like those little mini toothpaste you get in comfort stations.
If you turned up at the swimming pool in France and you didn't have Speedos, you had to buy them from a vending machine, then they came out of a plastic ball.
I remember.
Really bad.
What, have you still got them?
Yeah. They dropped out of our walk-in wardrobe the other night.
Don't say dropped out.
Like a spider on my shoulder. It's like, oh, what is it? Oh, my God, it's my Speedos. Tried to kill it with my foot.
Was there a seam up the front of the Speedos?
Oh, I'm not Baldrick from Blackadder. There was no seam up the front, Mel. Don't make this any worse than it need be.
Oh,
awful.
But presumably there were a few euros. I mean, they were cheap as chips. Well, they were cheap as freet, weren't they?
Well, I spent quite a bit of money on mine.
Did you?
Yeah.
What, even from the vending machine?
No, I never went to the vending machine because I turned up with regulation trunks.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, I thought yours had actually come from the vending
machine. Mine were like proper bought from England and brought over.
I've told everyone the story that you had to buy them from the vending machine.
Well, I would have had to. That was my DEFCON 1 scenario.
That's really disappointing.
I'm so sorry.
You've disappointed me.
Terribly sorry.
Goodness me. Are we ever going to come through this?
I don't know. But I do like the idea of buying any form of pants from a vending machine.
Oh, awful.
They went through a period where there was no thing for girls on the way home from nights out. You could buy like a fresh pair of shoes from a vending machine, curled up little girls' shoes.
Oh, weird. Yes. Weird, those bendy pumps.
Bendy pumps.
And you could slip them on. Very weird. I never bought any.
No.
Have you ever bought one of those toothbrushes that has the paste within it from the aforementioned comfort station?
No.
Comes in a plastic ball and you pop the whole brush into your mouth and you chew on... Has anyone done this? And you chew on the brush.
Wow.
And it's the cheapest toothpaste.
Is this one of those things you buy at service stations when you're in a rush?
Exactly.
Or fleeing the police?
Exactly.
Is that one of those things?
Exactly. Any other sinister items that you've ended up buying in a comfort station, Bush?
Do you know one other thing that I have bought from a comfort station at a service station?
Yeah, go on.
I've had my fortune read by Zoltar.
Oh, the machine!
The machine. They have them at service stations. It's like the stone face of a smiling sun.
Horrid.
God.
Really scary.
Yeah. Why would you want your fortune told if you're on the M6 near Kiel? It's really weird.
And are you allowed to say what Zoltar said to you?
I remember him saying something about having some form of financial situation, probably because it was £2 to get your fortune told. But things are linked.
Do you come away with anything? Is there some sort of memento of Zoltar, or is it just simply the words?
Just, well, you get the words, but they come out of the mouth of the stone smiling thing on the wall.
Do you know what? You mentioned the M6. I'm going to be on the M6 quite soon.
Ooh.
And I will try. I'm going to try and get that done. I'm going to go to Zoltar.
Get yourself down Kiel Services, my favourite service station.
They have the best loo in the north, I believe.
Really, really
Certainly
good.
Always did. Yeah. Oh, listen to that lovely, uplifting music.
Love it.
That would be, for me, that would be the A12.
Is that a nice uplifting road, as far
That's
as you're
a
concerned?
Good uplifting road, yeah. Out towards Essex and Suffolk.
Oh.
The air is clear.
It's like a country lane or a bit bigger than that?
It's not a duologue. What do they call roads with two?
Dual carriageway.
Thank you very much. It's a dual. I was just thinking in theatrical terms, my darling. I was thinking of a duologue.
It was a duologue.
Dual carriageway. So it's not that kind of horrendous three lanes, four lanes thing. And you look to the right and there's corn being sheathed.
Yes, corn being sheathed.
Sheathed. And you look to your left and there's a babbling brook. It's that kind of road.
My mum and dad always talk about taking the old roads.
Oh.
Me and your mother are going to Liverpool, but we're going to take the old roads.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, they're going on a horse and cart or something. It's quite weird.
So you go up the A1 rather than the M1. It's very hot in the studio.
It's very... Do you know what? You've just changed the temperature about 5 minutes ago and I'm sweating cobs.
Do you know what? I put it up to 26 because it was really cold. I think, Bush, we might have to take it down a bit. I'm so sorry, my
love. I might pass out like in a school assembly from the
80s. Oh, love, no. I'll have to do Harry Keery on you or whatever it is. Heimlich, whatever. No, the pumping thing. Oh, no, not that. Oh, I've worked my way into a verbal cul-de-sac. Now, listen, the Ledger of Ledge. This is where we put something that does not get the thing it deserves.
It doesn't get any credit it deserves.
Thank you very much.
And we're sick of that, so we're going to try and put it right by drawing it and then talking about it.
Yes, and do you know what it is today, my friend?
I'm intrigued.
I have got something today for the Ledger of Ledge, which is A, extremely posh.
Right.
B, something very, very pretentious. Mm-hmm. But I was leafing through the Ledger of Ledge and I thought we've had some very down-to-earth things like scabs and cocktail sticks and talc and stuff like that. I thought I'm going to put something really posh and pretentious in.
Okay, let's do it. Let's go up market.
Oh, my days. A cacao-covered golden berry.
Mel, I don't even know what that is.
It's a superfood, the golden berry, and it's covered with raw chocolate. Please draw it, Bush.
OMG.
Who's ever heard people praising those? They're my favourite thing when I go into the supermarket. I buy them by the bag, by the sackload.
Can I ask you a question? Do you eat them whilst walking around the supermarket before you actually pay to leave?
Yes, I do. I graze, and that is legal.
Is it? I don't know if it is.
I give them the packet to scan.
You're essentially on the run in this show. You're a fugitive.
It's gone silent as well, thereby somehow giving that weight. I've got the secret.
Great.
I've got the can.
That really reminds me of the nightclubbing era. You remember going to nightclubs?
Oh, matey, yes.
I don't know if I actually like to go to nightclubs.
Do you know what? I occasionally drive past people queuing up to go into a nightclub.
Yeah.
It just makes me feel weak and tired.
Yeah.
I look at them and I just think, oh, you're going to be waiting for about an hour. And you're going to go in, you're going to be fleeced.
Absolutely fleeced. And then they might lose your coat and you have to come back the next day.
Oh. And you won't have a single conversation because it'll be so loud.
Yeah.
You'll lose your voice.
Yeah.
And your coat, as you say.
And your coat.
And you'll probably you'll have some awful liaison in there. It's going to go badly.
Yeah, and then my dad, whenever he goes past anyone that's getting married, you know, with the front of the car ribbons,
yes,
and stuff like that, he beeps and shouts, "Don't do it" to them.
Oh, does he?
So I feel like doing that sometimes with people who are queuing to get into nightclubs.
Mate,
don't do it.
That's a sideline. We could provide a service. We could be paid a percentage,
yep,
to go round and prevent people from going into nightclubs.
Whatever the abbreviated word is of intervention drive-by advice.
IDA.
Yes.
Now, temperature-wise, how are we doing?
I feel like we're broadcasting from a very professional studio right now. We've got the main door propped open with the waste paper bin.
Yeah.
Is this how we're rolling?
It still feels we're sort of Dubai, slightly Dubai.
Do you know what it reminds me of? When I was a kid, I used to work at the Berryhead Hotel.
Yes.
And in the high heat of summer, I used to work in the carvery. You know, when they were serving people roast dinners?
Oh.
And I used to feel like I was going to literally melt, and that's how I feel right now.
So you had to carve the stuff?
Yeah. And people would queue for a roast dinner in like 29 degree heat.
Of course they did.
In Devon.
They're British. They're
unbelievable.
Devon, they're Devonian. Of course they would.
They used to love it.
But it's like when you go abroad to those, you know, I think we went to Tenerife,
mm-hmm,
and there was literally a carvery on the main strip. 32 degrees, mate. People still eat it. Isn't that amazing?
God bless the Brits.
Did you wear a maroon waistcoat for that job?
I did.
I knew it.
White shirt, white school
white shirt,
maroon waistcoat and a little tiny maroon bow tie.
Mate, Honestly, people in carveries
always
wear maroon waistcoats.
We were dressed like ventriloquist dummies from the 1950s. It was really weird. I've had to wear some terrible stuff for jobs over the years.
Oh, same.
Because after that job, I then went to another job where I worked in a chip shop in Paignton.
I'm thinking a hairnet.
I didn't have to wear a hairnet,
was
actually.
There a hairnet?
I
no.
have worn one of those before when I worked in a factory burning the tops of frozen lasagnas to put them into boxes.
Oh.
But when I worked in the chip shop, I used to wear a castaway's outfit.
I thought you were going to say a cassock.
Not a cassock. A castaway's outfit, so a ripped, like, Barney Rubble style waistcoat with a cravat. It's the worst thing I've ever worn in my life for a job.
A sort of cheery chappy in a chippy outfit.
Yeah.
And what was on the bottom then? Frayed shorts?
It was like, frayed shorts and then boots or something. It was awful.
Oh, mate.
It looked like the fella off Toy Story.
And did you have to redden up the cheeks to make it look as if you'd been on a sunblasted island?
If I went back there again now, with hindsight, I'd definitely do that.
Oh, bush.
Deary me.
Listen, mate, that's absolutely marvellous. I don't think they do that in chip shops now, do they? A costume.
I know, a costume.
That's brilliant. And was the boss in a sort of Captain Hook outfit?
He should have been. It was just, I think they went nautical. They tried to go nautical but nice, but it didn't quite work out.
So lots of sort of rope and what would he be wearing? A captain's outfit,
probably. Kind of like a pirate. But the thing was this, and obviously this was in the era when I used to go out for drinks and stuff like that. Don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But you would then wake up for work, maybe feeling a little bit delicate from the night before, and have to go into the chip shop and go to get a wheelbarrow, go to a shed, get a block of lard, put it in the wheelbarrow, wheel it back to a deep fat fryer and start that off.
Did you literally transport it in a wheelbarrow?
Yeah, 9:30 in the morning.
I hope it was dedicated to lard and wasn't just the wheelbarrow they had in the garden. No, Tell me it was dedicated.
It was the specific lard wheelbarrow.
Are you sure it was lard dedicated?
100%. I very much stringently checked that no one was borrowing it.
Did your costume get washed between shifts?
No.
No, of course
So I would sit on the bus on the way back from Paignton and people would move seat because I smelt of chips and fat. Try getting a girlfriend in that era.
Did you?
Really bad.
Did you eat lots of chips or did you just get sick of the smell slash sight of
them? Used to eat loads of chips, obsessed with it.
Oh.
They used to deep fry Mars bars and everything.
That is a Bond theme to be reckoned with.
One of the best.
I think it is, you know.
It might be the best.
I loved Skylark. Well, no, it wasn't Sky. What was it?
Skyfall.
Skyfall, lovely. Adele's Skyfall. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
But some of the ones of recent years, I don't want to sound like a middle-aged old, it's not as good as it was in my day. But those old Bond themes, come on!
Although Sam Smith's one was brilliant. What was that song called? Writings on the Wall. That was great.
But you see, I couldn't sing that to you. I love Sam Smith, but I couldn't sing that to you.
So is that the basis of a good Bond film? It's like my dad used to say to me and my brother if you're playing dance music, but you can't whistle that song. Can you whistle that song? No, you can't. It's not a good song. It's got a point.
Was that your attempt at whistling a dance song?
Yeah, it's really quite bad, wasn't it?
I think that was 808 State, wasn't it? That was rather good.
Pacific State, well done, yeah, good
rather
song.
Rather good. No, the old Bond themes, I'm sorry, they were quality.
Yeah,
come
you're
on,
right,
blooming
you're right.
Wings. Wings!
Wings!
Live and let die. Down. That comes out of nowhere, doesn't it?
It
the
does.
Orchestral bit. You're not expecting that.
No one was expecting that.
And hang on, Bassey, come on.
I know, you can't beat Shirley Bassey.
No, ring it. Come on. That is a classic.
In the club style.
Isn't it?
Her finger.
Again, Bush, I failed to ask you anything. Actually, no, you did talk about your life. You talked about your chip shop.
Was this
life.
An AA meeting? Tell us a bit about your life.
No, but I wanted to sort of, you know, I don't want to talk about myself all the time.
It's fine. It's fine. We're just chatting. Don't you worry about it.
I know. I'm worried about that wheelbarrow, though. That's staying with me, the wheelbarrow that you used to transport the lard on.
Let me just say, right, in the chip shop, you had to sign the wheelbarrow out.
Okay.
So that, for me, if you are going to worry about the hygiene of a wheelbarrow used to take lard from a shed to a deep fat fryer for a chippy, you got to sign out for it.
Bush, I'm sorry to interrupt you, mate. I'm now worried that it's too cold in the studio.
What is going on?
My knees are cold.
It's gone very cold. It has
knees
gone
are cold,
cold.
Knees are cold.
Cold.
And never knees
it's
are cold.
Cold.
No, mate, literally, we had sort of Barbadian, extraordinary heat. And now it's ruddy Reykjavik. I don't know what's going on. I'm cold.
I feel like this is some form of scientific test where they're exposing us to extreme temperature swings.
Listen, I'm going to go. Keep broadcasting. I'm going to go to the thing. Right, it says 23 degrees.
Yeah.
That is not 23 degrees where I'm sitting.
Mel is shouting at the thermometer in the studio.
It's not 23.
Go on, you tell it, Mel.
It feels like it's about 40. 14.
You gave that thermometer a right dressing down. It's not doing that again, the hurry.
Wait, listen, we can't broadcast unless we're feeling comfortable.
Yes, good point. You idiot, thermometer.
We just did a lot of swearing.
We did loads of swearing.
We're not swearing in the podcast, though. It's a good, clean thing, the podcast.
We take the mics down and we get it all out of the way before we start.
We do. It's like magic mic, isn't it? Get all the rude stuff out and then, you know.
It's a question from the podcast, Tim, for you, Mel. What animal best represents your personality?
A beaver. Definitely.
Really?
Yeah, buck teeth, quite furry and annoying, with a tendency to bite, as you saw with the thermostat.
I think that pretty much nails it.
No, Bush. No. I'm thinking. My brain is in overdrive. What? I mean, the obvious thing to say would, of course, be a bush baby. That would be the obvious. A little bush baby.
Little bush baby.
What would you be, do you think, Bush? You could be many things.
Well, Brian, who's the producer of The Breakfast Show here at Magic, always calls me Radio Cat. Because I panic and like a cat and then jump on top of like a filing cabinet or freak out or whatever.
I think there's something a bit lizardy about you. And I mean that in a cool way. Because
nicest lizards, possible way.
No, lizards are really, really cool. I can imagine you going and going up a wall.
What, and my eyes go in different directions at the same time?
No, like a really cool gecko or something.
Like a really cool gecko?
Yeah, I think you're really cool lizard.
Radio lizard.
Yeah.
And radio beaver.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Sorry about the patronising little. I always do that. I do apologise. Hear more fun and japes like that every Saturday lunchtime from 1 on Magic.
The Mel Gedroych Show. The Mel Gedroych Podcast.